One of the many things that we're doing here at Good News Church, and we're doing a lot of things, is we're helping change the image that people have of God. Change the image of the way that people see God. So instead of God, you know, Him being God, He is our Heavenly Father. Instead of Him being constantly mad at us, He has no condemnation. And He's for us. Instead of Him giving us a bunch of rules to follow, He saves us by grace. Instead of being out to get us, He wants to bless us. Even so much more than we would ever even know. There's so many scriptures that talk about God and His character and who He is. I'm just going to read a couple of them. But it's really something you need to meditate on a daily basis. The more you are able to receive and understand the love of God and get a glimpse of it, the more of it will overflow. That's really what it is. It will overflow and touch others. Lamentations, and you can just look on the screen here. You probably can't even find Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 in Message Translation says this: God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. New King James says His mercies are new every morning. They're created new every morning. How great Your faithfulness. I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. He's all I've got left. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, Message Bible says this: So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing Himself to the worst by sending His own Son, is there anything else He wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? Now that to me sounds like a good God. That seems like a God that's not mad at us or against us. That seems like a God that's for us. And we say this all the time, that John 10, verse 10 is the dividing line of the scriptures and really talks about who the devil is and who God is. It says the thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. That's who he is. And Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. That word abundant is an overflowing life. A life overflowing with good things. Not only in this life here on earth, but in the one to come. So God, if you would describe Him, He's faithful, He's forgiving, He's merciful, He's kind, He's generous, He's gracious, He's patient, and the list goes on. Now, let me ask you this question. I might ask you some questions today, so this is kind of participation time. How many used to have the image of an angry God, and that image has changed over the years? Raise your hand. A lot of hands. How many here are having more and more revelation of God's love growing in your heart? Raise your hand. Good. Awesome. Now, this is a question. You don't have to answer this question. Shouldn't we, as mature believers, be more and more like Him? Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we, as mature believers, and by maturity I mean we're growing, we all want our kids to grow and mature. You know, we want them to grow up and have families and have their lives, and we want them to mature. But as believers, we should be maturing. And so then, as we do that, there should be more of a reflection of God coming forth. Shouldn't we be, by the end of 2013, more of a reflection of Jesus and be Christ-like than we were at the end of 2012? So if there was one word we could choose to describe God, and again, I just read many different words, I think the one word that you could use to describe God and who He is and His character and His heart and His plan is the word love. In fact, the Bible says God is love. Isn't that something? He is love. Jesus is the one that introduced agape love. You know, there's different words in the Greek for the word love in the New Testament. And Jesus introduced really to the world the Greek word agape. And Jesus said, I represent the Father. Jesus came to show us the Father. And agape love is the highest form of love. It's more than a feeling love. It's more than a brotherly love. It's an unconditional love. It's not based on performance. It's based on a decision. I'm going to love you because you're valuable and precious. Because you're created in God's image. I'm going to love you. Now, it may be hard, but I decide I'm going to do that. That's agape love. And Jesus introduced us. And so, it would make sense that the believers in Jesus, that the main word to describe us would be love. How's my reasoning today? Is this logical? Yes. Wouldn't it make sense then that if the main word to describe God or Jesus is love, then the main word to describe the believers in Christ should be love? But it's really sad to say, and I hope it's not a good news church, but I don't have all good news today because I know it's not totally true. Because I'd be lying to you if I told you this is the way it is here. But we're not, hopefully, not as bad as maybe we used to be. But the church, talking about the body of Christ, has become known for offense. I'm going to try to smile a lot today. We've been known for offense. We've been known for condemnation. We've been known for touchiness. Ouch. We've been known for strife, and we've known for division. How much more of an indictment is when you have a church split? How can that happen? Where's the Holy Spirit there? Where's God in that? Church split. Can you imagine? We have these things going on, and we just split. This church went this way, and these guys went that way, and we're not going to speak to you, and our church is better, and it happens. It happened today somewhere. Probably happening in Augusta. Maybe happening right here. I don't know. Hopefully not. This may be, I don't know. Better, it's happened to better pastors than me. Better places than me, than here. Who thought, oh, it would never happen. But that's just really sad. I mean, divorce is sad. But think about in a church, a split like that. And, we are citizens of heaven. Everybody say, I'm a citizen of heaven. I mean, that's a revelation there. We're not citizens of this world. We're not of this world. Our citizenship is not in Augusta or the United States or some country. Our citizenship is in heaven. Isn't that amazing? And part of this country that we live in, we're the light of the world. I'm saying about it today. We're ambassadors for Christ. Turn to your neighbor and point at him and say it real lovingly. You're an ambassador for Christ. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. It doesn't say the ministry. You don't have the ministry of division. You don't have the ministry of chaos or strife or the ministry of gossip or the ministry of tearing people down or the ministry of making fun of people. This would probably be a good time to head for the door if you... I've heard this. I don't know this for sure. There used to be a church, and it may happen today. They used to lock their doors to the sanctuary so people couldn't leave. Unless they have a new policy, yeah, I think our doors are open. So, If you, just start coughing or something and kind of make your way. And we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Isn't it ridiculous to think that Jesus is sitting next to God the Father, giving him the silent treatment? I find it interesting that it says that Jesus is sitting at his right hand for all of eternity. That just sure, and then, you know, the Trinity, three in one. Much closer than you get than that. And the thought of them being divided, we can't even fathom that. If it's not the Trinity, and let's just say the Holy Spirit wanted to take a little break, what's the word? Duet? A duet of the Spirit? I don't know what we call. What would we call that? I mean, we don't think of it that way, and we don't think of Jesus being mad at God or God being mad at Jesus and giving him the silent treatment. And yet, that's in heaven where we're citizens, and the Bible actually says that we're seated in Him. So, how is it that we can give our neighbor, our brother, or our sister the silent treatment? And it's okay here, but we wouldn't want it to happen in heaven. And it's okay here. Oh boy, this is really good and bad. It's okay here. Ew! It's okay here. It's okay here to do that here. Why is that okay? Why is that okay? I guess we don't have the revelation that we're citizens of heaven. Now, there's a really tough scripture in Psalm 106. Susie, am I doing okay today? You just tell me if I cross the line. If I cross the line, just go like this. No one. Psalm 106. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, I'm glad I'm laughing. I had some really good coffee today. And I'm feeling good. I don't know if it's the anointing or if it's my coffee. I don't know what it is. Psalm 106, verse 35, New Living Translation says this: instead, they mingled among the pagans and adopted their evil customs. They worshiped their idols, which led to their downfall. New King James says they mingled with the world and they learned their ways, and it became a snare to them. It became a trap. And I think this is my opinion. I don't know, we could probably debate this, but I think the church has so much wanted to fit in with the world. We've wanted so badly to be like them that we go to great lengths to be like them when we're called to come out from among them. Not that we're better than any better, but buddy, we're not trying to be superior, but we're to come out from among them. And again, not be separated either. I'm not saying that. But we're called to be different. We're not called to be like everybody else. We're not called to fit in. Amen. Now, I know that people do, you know, things like, I remember I was at a Christmas party. I worked at the International Paper, and I'm working with at the table with my people that in my area, and they have these wine glasses out there. And, you know, I'm sitting next to a guy that I'm trying to witness to. I work with him, and he's just lost. Alcohol issues, living on his own, all kind of family issues. And I'm just loving on him and, you know, trying to reach out to him. And then I have this other guy, and he's a good guy, sitting across the table. Susie was there. First thing he does when he gets to the table, he makes this big production, grabs the wine glass, and turns it upside down. Now, how do you think that made the other people at the table feel? And I'm fine. You're convicted not to drink wine, but we're not out to put it in someone's face. But on the other hand, we don't drink wine then or whatever just to be like them. You know what I'm saying? I guess it's the spirit. It's the way we go about things, whether we do it through condemnation or graciousness. And I know there's a fine line there. Because we do know that the wages of sin is death. So we're not condoning sin. But I would rather be the church that, that doesn't preach hellfire and brimstone. Whether we preach that the goodness of God leads man to repentance. And then you can see the difference there. And so people trying to fit in, and we're trying to fit in, and we're learning their ways, and we're learning their customs, and we bring them into the church. You know, we're aliens. The Bible says we're foreigners. We should be a little uncomfortable in the world. You know, when you go to a new country and a new place, don't you kind of feel funny because you don't know the language? We shouldn't know the language of the world. We shouldn't know their customs. We should feel a little uncomfortable. And again, not in a way that we're better than anybody else or trying to get anybody, but if we totally feel at ease in the world system, what's happened there? Have we been ensnared in that? Have we been, you know, moving that way? Let's look over in Matthew 24. Again, I'll just read this. This is the Message translation. You doing okay today? Glad you came?
Yes.
Matthew 24, verse 4. Jesus said, "Watch out for doomsday deceivers. Many leaders are going to show up with forged identities, claiming I am Christ the Messiah. They will deceive a lot of people. When reports come in of wars and rumors of wars, keep your head and don't panic. This is routine history. This is no sign of the end. Nation will fight nation and ruler fight ruler over and over. Famines and earthquakes will occur in various places. This is nothing compared to what is coming. They're going to throw you to the wolves and kill you, everyone hating you because you carry my name. And then going from bad to worse, it will be dog eat dog, everyone at each other's throats, everyone hating each other." And this is what it says in the New King James. It says, "The love of many will grow cold." The love of many will grow cold. "In the confusion, lying preachers will come forward and deceive a lot of people. For many others, the overwhelming spread of evil will do them in. Nothing left of their love but a mound of ashes. Staying with it," that's what God requires, "stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry. You'll be saved. All during this time, the good news, the message of the kingdom, will be preached all over the world, a witness staked out in every country, and then the end will come." And so in the world, and again, you know, you could look at this, talking about the tribulation, talking about before, I mean, he's talking about both here. So you could argue maybe that he's talking about the love of many will grow cold during the tribulation, which would absolutely make sense. But I would say that that's happening in this world that we're living in. If we're moving toward the tribulation, I would say there is that. And I feel it maybe even in our communities. I certainly feel it in our politics. I feel it in a lot of different areas. Maybe, you know, I guess I would say that the love of many is growing cold. And, you know, and if we're mingling with the world and learning their ways, then that would say that the love of many in the church is growing cold. And that's really sad, because if we're to reflect God's love, if He is love, and that's how we would describe Him, but then we look at us as believers, shouldn't we be described as people of love?
Yes.
Shouldn't people, when they come to Good News Church, experience God's love? Shouldn't we be a reflection of Him? Should be. But yet, I'll just tell you, even amongst us today, we've got factions. Even amongst us, we have people that wouldn't sit with each other. Even amongst us here today, we have people that wouldn't go out to dinner with each other, wouldn't have them in their home. Now, as a pastor, that just breaks your heart. It really does. It breaks your heart. The people you care for, you're called by God to shepherd and to look. And I'm not the shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd for the great shepherd. You're not my people. And that's why if someone decides to leave Good News Church, I don't really have a problem with that. If you can find a better pastor and a better church, you need to run there. Seriously. Get out of here and go there. You can find a better church, you need to go there. If God's calling you another place, go there. And I won't be upset about it because we're on the same team. We're in the same body. You're my brother, you're my sister. And that's just the way to look at it. I mean, we may disagree about things and may want to do things differently. There's a million different ways to do church. You may not like the way we do church. But that's okay. If you go where you feel at home. Go where you feel like that's your place. This is my place. And get plugged in. I'm a believer in church. I could talk to you all day long about the benefits and being in church, of what it would do for your marriage and for your family and your finances and every area of your life. Church is necessary. But in the midst of it all, don't lose sight of what we're really all about. We're not a building. We're not about land. We're not about cash flow, although we need cash flow. We're not about equipment and fancy kind of stuff. That's all good. Need all that, and we're striving to do all those things. But that's not what we're about. We're about His being like Him, and that's being a church of love. And it's so easy for the enemy to sneak in and bring division and to bring chaos or bring whatever. And what is he trying to do to every marriage? Break it up. Why does he want to do that? Why is there so much pressure on marriages? Because the devil knows if that couple will get together, they'll be the most powerful union on the face of the earth. Now imagine if you had a church of people coming together, what they could do. And so you see why he fights it. And he's just not going to come marching down the aisle with horns and a pitchfork, you know. You know, what's he going to do? He's going to work behind the scenes. He's going to hit you in your weak areas. He's going to bring up little petty things that can fester and grow into something bigger. That's just going to be his strategy. What's his ultimate goal? Division. Strife. Stop the power. Stop the outreach. Stop making disciples. He doesn't want to see the great commitment. He doesn't want to lose any of his people. So God's way is love. And I'm not suggesting today that it's easy. It's hard. It's really hard. I mean, if you've been married any amount of time, if you have kids, if you live with anybody in any kind of situation, it's just hard with people and all their flaws. We can walk on water, but they sink, man. It's just hard. Let's just be honest. And you're not listening, Carly and Chase. They're about to get married. Don't listen to any of this part. Let me read you a good scripture again. We'll just put it up on the screen, the Message translation. This is really good scripture for a time like right now. If the love of many is growing cold, if we've mingled with the world for trying to be like them, this is a really good scripture. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And really should be something that we all look at. Maybe a scripture you put up on your mirror. Hebrews 10, 24, Message says this. Let us consider and give it attention. Is this? Put it in the Amplified, I think. Is that what it's supposed to be? Put that up there and see if that's right. Yes. No? Go back to the message. No, that's wait, okay. Yes. Good. All right. Moving on. Got to be precise around here. Well-run operation. And let us consider and give attention, continuous care, watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite one another, stimulate and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people. You know, when your love grows cold, you get in the habit of not going to church. What's the purpose of church? Why do I need to go? They don't really need me. I don't need them. It's better. I'll just stay home and watch TV. They got better preaching than Good News Church at home. We'll just watch in my pajamas. Come on, I got my coffee. My Egg McMuffin. What does it matter? I mean, go over there. They just treat me so-and-so. They don't value my gifts. They don't do things like I would do them. What does it matter if I go? What does it matter? Just stay home. This is a good scripture. You're to go, and even if you don't get anything out of the service, you're there to stir up and incite. You're there to cause a riot of love. Let's just have a... I don't even know what that would look like. That's almost... I don't even know if I want to imagine that. Good News Church, reporting the Augusta Chronicle, they had a riot of love on Sunday morning. It was outrageous. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, encouraging one another all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. Now, many, you've been in all the churches. You've been through all the meetings, all the revivals. You can preach the sermons better than the preacher. But you still just don't get what church is about. You haven't gotten it. It's like you've forgotten what church is really about, and then so you don't understand. So it's difficult for you to attend on a regular basis because you don't understand. It's not about you. Now this is going to take some maturity. I know some of the guests and some of the people maybe away from God are going, got involved today? But I mean, as you mature though as a believer, you realize church is not about me. Church is not about my feelings. Church is not about me feeling good. Church is about me serving and giving and loving and inciting riots. And the reason why, I mean, it is dangerous to be offended. Offense, the Bible says, leads to bitterness.
Yes.
And I mean, I could do some natural studies or, do some internet searches on just the cause of that on your body, on what that does internally, bitterness. It's like a cancer. It probably leads to cancer. I mean, it'll just tear you up. Bitterness. But, and again, that's just the strategy of the end. It's a poison. We would fight that to get a poison in our system. But that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to take an offense or take something really petty and turn it into something major. Why? So it can turn into bitterness. And he's trying to poison you. But it'll read over Mark 4. Mark 4, I love Mark 4, read it hundreds of times. Mark 4 talks, it says that offense will steal the word. It says it in the Word. And it says that it will not be fruitful. So if you're wondering about your life and the fruitfulness of your life, you're going to have to go back and look at your love walk. If you feel like you're not getting anything out of church or getting anything out of the preacher, go back and look at your love walk. How are you doing? Are you forgiving people? Are you letting things go? Are you being touchy, fretful, resentful? Offense, you know, we got to root out offense. It's just something we can't have. And I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. Things happen. You don't know what they did to me. But I just want you to let you know, I lead by example. And I stand before you today. I have no offense against any person here today. Especially Alberto here. How could you be offended with Alberto here? Blessings to you. I don't. I'd have dinner with everyone here, and I'd have a good time. I'd have every one of you into my home. It doesn't mean I will invite you because we don't have enough room for all of you, but the thought is there. It's the thought that counts. Now, I don't have offense with anybody. Because I know how important this is. Well, it's just because you're a pastor. You're a man of God. As a pastor, who's laughing? Are you laughing at the pastor or being man of God? Which one is it? Probably both of those. You know, maybe it's because I turned 50. I'm just a little more reflective. You can be more reflected at certain ages. But, you know, I'm not going to get to heaven and, like, boy, I wish I had a bigger house. But wouldn't it be nice if I had a few more cars? Wouldn't it be awesome? Boy, if I had more clothes in my closet or a bigger grill, wouldn't have that been a wonderful life? If I just had a bigger flat screen TV. Now we're talking. Now I'm getting over it. All right, I see where. If I had the latest iPhone or iPad, wouldn't that be something? Come on. Come on, everybody. Come on. Happy 75th, Martha. She's endured 17 years of this. You ought to give her a reward of some kind. Not just me, but her daughter. Makes fun of her just about every service. You want to keep her humble? Is that what you... It's your job to keep Eddie and Martha humble. Or, you know, if I get to heaven, boy, I wish I would have had that title. I wish I would have had that corner office. I wish I would have gone to that country and that country. You know, the bucket list. Got to have the bucket list. You know, I would think for me, I don't know, I haven't been there. I think the only regret that I may have is how I treated people. Or maybe the only regret is, I wasn't more loving. Or if I'm more regret that I didn't win more people for the kingdom and take more people with me. We've had in the church, Shirley and Jenny are here. Zach went to heaven. And we have a whole lot of different people that have had loved ones go on. And, you know, and during this time, you're really thinking about life and death and heaven and what's all life all about. And it can be, you know, what is it all about? I just say that it's about relationships. I say it's about love. I say it's about how we treat people. And people are created in God's image, and I know they may not always act like it, but that deserves some respect. And that deserves some value. And the help of the Holy Spirit, it's a fruit of a relationship with God, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. And I'll read from 1 Corinthians 13 in a moment, because you all can't take any more of this message. They let you out early today for good behavior. I'm just standing here and I'm begging you. I'm begging you. You want me to get down on my knees? All right, I'll do it. I am just begging you to let it go. I'm begging you to let it go. Please let it go. Please let that offense go. I beg you to do that. I beg you to forgive and to go the extra mile. Now, there's a great scripture. I've been reading some really good scriptures today. They're all good, but let me read you this one. Matthew 18. And this, if you learn this principle, because we in church don't want to do this. We don't want to do this scripture. We want to do a lot of the other ones, if it's about prosperity or healing or something else. But we don't want to do this scripture here. We don't like this scripture. We probably have it marked out. Matthew 18, verse 15. And guys, I know this is the message. I'm convinced of it. Matthew 18, verse 15. If a fellow believer hurts you. Now be honest. Who's been hurt by a fellow believer? And if you've been hurt a lot, raise two hands. See, you're worshiping God. Okay. Got you to worship God right in the middle of it all. If a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell him. Work it out between the two of you. If he listens, you've made a friend. If he won't listen, take one or two others along so that the presence of witnesses will keep things honest and try again. I love that. Try again. Don't just give up after one time. Try again. If he still won't listen, tell the church. Now, I have to repent because I've not been willing to do that. And I guess I'm going to have to look at my life, and maybe I need to look at this. Tell the church. What would that look like? I don't know. How could I do that? Tell the church. I wouldn't want to do that. But I mean, I guess I'm going to have to follow the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to do if it comes to the situation. I'm not there. I'm not there with anybody right now, so you can all just rest. If you won't listen to the church, you'll have to start over from scratch. Confront him with the need for repentance and offer again God's forgiving love. Meaning that even if it comes to the worst and you can't get reconciled, then you treat him like an unbeliever, and then they're a lost person, and then you love them with the gospel. You don't shun them, and you don't throw darts at their pitcher. Or whatever else. Now, Gary, you and I have been through some things.
Yes.
Now, have you been offended at me?
Yes.
Many times?
No.
But I can think of one. We had one serious situation. How close were you to leaving the church?
Pretty close.
What kept you in staying?
God's love.
God's love. Now, let me ask you, are you glad that you went the extra mile? And aren't you glad? Because you're my brother. You're my brother. Aren't you glad that we worked it out?
Amen.
And can you see lives being impacted and changed for the kingdom because we did?
Yes.
Was it hard?
Yes.
It was hard.
It was.
But out of love and respect, and we said some things that I regret, and wrote some emails that I regret. But I mean, the bottom line, I mean, we were doing our best to get it worked out. And I'm glad that there was that love of God in there to be reconciled, because it's about kingdom business. It wasn't about you or me. God had something bigger that he was doing, and we weren't smart enough to see it.
Right.
Work it out. It's But see, this is the Bible way to do things. We don't want to do this. We want to go and tell everybody else, or we just want to leave, and we don't want to deal with it. And then, hey, I don't blame you, but I'm just saying, we say all the time that we're hearers and doers of the Word, and James says you'll be blessed because you're a hearer and a doer of the Word. Why don't we do this one? I think I'd rather have you do this than be a tither. I mean, Jesus even said to the Pharisees, he said, you know, you ought to tithe and you ought to do these different things, but don't forget justice and mercy. I'd rather have, you know, and so there we go. The 90-day challenge is over. Tithing's out the door. Well, I'd rather have that. We can cut back on Nate's salary. He won't mind. He's so blessed. Keep tithing for Nate. All righty. I'm going to close with this scripture. Put your eyes on the screen. 1 Corinthians 13, Amplified. Let's just read some verses here. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Put it up, guys. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Verse 2. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly. We've got to have manners. I was taught manners. And does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and ceased. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. Keep on going. Is that it? That's the last verse? Oh, I thought there was one more verse. That's powerful. And I know you think, man, I can't do that. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit, if you'll give Him something to work with, we can't do anything for God in ourselves. If we'll give Him something to work with. I heard testimonies this last week about people going out in the street for the first time. And they'd never done it and they were afraid. But they stepped out, and as they did that, the power of God came on them and gave them the words to share. It's hard to go to someone and, first of all, to ask to be forgiven, to repent to somebody. That's difficult to do. But then it's to go to someone with an offense, because we shouldn't have offense. But if you go do that to your brother or your sister, that relationship's going to be stronger, not weaker. If you're both open to the Holy Spirit and opening to follow God's plan, that relationship's going to be stronger. And if that relationship is stronger, Ephesians 4 says, we're edifying the body. We're strengthening the body. We're building up the body. If you're rooting out division within the church, you're actually building up this body. We're going to be more effective in the vision and the mission. What's the vision? We see a community of believers strongly connected to God and to each other, empowered by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to be able ministers reaching their world and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the vision. That's what we see out in the future. That's what we're trying to do here. What's our mission? Empowering people to give life. What's our team good news mission? Working together, doing whatever it takes to create an environment where lives can be changed.
Yes.
I love that. Working together. I love that second part. Doing whatever it takes.
I love you, man.
I love you, man.
Thank you, brother.
we do all the different things about a church, and we want fellowship, and we want to get to know each other. But we've got a vision and a mission here. We've got something that God called us to do. Then to tack on, we're now working on something else where working with other churches to raise up 1 million believers. I'm not making this up, and I'm not just spouting off numbers. Raising up 1 million believers to reach 100 million people with the gospel. So this is serious business. So if there's going to be a place where the enemy is going to come and try to divide people, I think Good News Church has a big target on its back. So we've got to be aware of this. We've got to be aware that the love of many is growing cold. We've got to be aware of people being ensnared by the world's ways. We've got to be aware that we've got a vision and a mission and a purpose here. And we're going to have great love here. We have different races, different colors, different backgrounds, different all kinds of different things. I mean, if we don't have love, we will have a riot, but not the kind of riot we want to have. You know how, I don't want to offend anybody with my language here, but I'm just going to say this. You know how difficult it is to have blacks and whites come together for church in Augusta, Georgia? We take all this for granted. But there's still places you couldn't go today in this city because of the color of your skin.
Yeah.
I know that because I've had people tell me that they weren't welcome. I was at a church, a Word of Faith church. We're something special. We're Word of Faith. We're better than everybody else. We're Word of Faith. We're prosperity. We're all. I'm at they asked me to speak at a men's meeting. And I'm speaking at a men's meeting, and I'm talking about love, this topic today. And I'm talking about loving people and loving sinners and loving different races. And I look around, and I notice the table was all white. And I noticed as I started talking about it, the pastor and others started getting uncomfortable. And I thought to myself, oh, my God. They don't want certain races here. It was shocking. You mean when we get to heaven, we're going to be divided up by races? I mean, I got to call, it's 12. I mean, I'm just dealing with everything today. What have y'all been up to? What's going on? All right, I'm going to shut it off. We can't have... can't have those people here. Can't have those people here. What are we going to do if they come here? sitting next to them? Have them over in my house for Bible study? What will the neighbors think? I can hear the prayers. Lord, please just let them close the service. I can hear you thinking that. Probably offended a bunch of people today. I'm going to have a lot of people coming to my office this week. But you haven't offended me. You've been a marvelous congregation today. You haven't offended me. You sat through it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you made it.
You made it.
Now turn to your other neighbor and say, if you can make it through this, you can make it through anything.